Well, on this Remembrance Sunday morning, I want to ask you a very personal question. And that is, are you confident about how you will be remembered? Are you confident about how you will be remembered? Join with me, please, this morning in Psalm 25. We've already mentioned this morning that this is a psalm of David, the King of Israel. Elsewhere in the Bible, he's described as a man after God's own heart. He's the man whose sins we considered together last Sunday morning, both his adultery and indeed his murder. He's the man who wrote this psalm. And it's thought that it was composed in his later years, which is helpful to us in this, that in many ways, Psalm 25 is David's life in miniature. For here in his life, in this psalm, we read about his faith in God. We read about his conflicts and his battles. We read about his sins. We read about his distresses. In many ways, Psalm 25 is David's life in miniature. You'll notice that it's 22 verses long. And for those of you who know that the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, you might have guessed that this is an alphabetic psalm, which means that it goes from Alpha to Omega, A to Z as it were for us, and each verse begins with a new letter of the alphabet. It's the first of seven such psalms that we have in the Bible. But I want to draw your attention to part of verse 7 this morning. In fact, I'm going to read for you now verses 6 and 7. And you'll notice how fitting this psalm is for us to look at on Remembrance Sunday. David says in verse 6, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord." A psalm for Remembrance Day. A day on which we remember those who grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn, but at the going down of the sun and in the morning we will remember them. And whether we remember them in the Royal Albert Hall, or at the Cenotaph, or in the memorial in Glenmore Park, nevertheless, today is a day of remembrance, as tomorrow will be. For tomorrow, of course, is the 11th day of November, and remembrance, the two-minute silence, particularly takes place at the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month, when the guns fell silent on the Western Front in World War I. And I want to take the opportunity this morning of Remembrance Sunday to remind us of the brevity of life. The shortness of life. The Bible says it is but a mist. I think I'm right in saying that in the First World War there were over 20 million injured, 16 million died, and 25% of those who were killed were under the age of 20. The brevity of life. But if we know our Bibles, we know the truth of what God has said, we also are reminded this morning of the certainty of death and then judgment. The Bible says it's appointed unto man to die once and face the judgment. A day, in a sense, of remembrance before God. These are the truths that come to mind on Remembrance Sunday. We remember sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, as lives were laid down. We remember the victory that was won over the enemy. We think of the freedom that we received from tyranny. And those three truths, sacrifice, victory, and freedom, very much find a home in the core of Christianity. There it's the enemies of sin and Satan and death and hell. It's the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ through his own unique sacrifice for sinners upon the cross. And it's the freedom enjoyed by all who turn to him and trust in him. Interesting, isn't it, that believers are instructed to call those realities to mind in a simple meal, the Lord's Supper or Communion. which was instituted by our Lord on the same night in which he was betrayed, when he took bread and wine, and he said twice, do this in remembrance of me. We're prone to forget him. We're prone to forget that glorious sacrifice which he made on the cross, the victory that he won. And so he's given us this wonderful reminder of the Lord's Supper, that we remember him. You see, remembrance is quite a theme in the scripture. We sometimes read that God remembers. Not that God ever forgets, but it means that God particularly calls something to mind. At the time of the flood, we read that God remembered Noah. From time to time, we read that God remembers his promise. He remembers us in our lowly estate. He remembers the sins of his people no more. That's a glorious truth. The Bible speaks of those who wanted to be remembered in the Bible. Joseph in the Old Testament, remember when he's in prison with the chief butler, and the chief butler's about to be released, Joseph says, remember me. When you get your freedom, remember me. And then, of course, one of the robbers who died on a cross adjacent to our Lord Jesus Christ. The dying thief turns to Jesus, and in his last words says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remembrance is quite a theme. We're instructed to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We're instructed to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We're instructed to remember Lot's wife who turned back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Paul says, remember me in my chains. The early disciples were particularly told to remember the poor. From time to time, the Lord's people are instructed to remember what the Lord your God did for you. And Paul instructs us to remember Jesus Christ. Lots of themes of remembrance in the scripture. But in these two verses, Psalm 25, verses 6 and 7, you'll notice that the word remember features three times. In these words, which King David addresses to the Lord, capital letters, the great I Am, as we've been reminding ourselves recently, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. David addresses him, and with a trusting plea says, O Lord, remember your tender mercies and loving kindnesses. Don't remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. Remember me according to your mercy. I want to take those two words in verse 7 as our text this morning. Remember me. They're the words of the dying thief on the cross to Jesus. They're the words of David here to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember me. And here it's according to your mercy. Let's just look at some general lessons from remembrance. First of all, you have the ability to remember, don't you? You have the ability to call to mind happy memories and sad memories. Sometimes you don't even seem to have to call them to mind. They just come in as a flood, don't they? You're able to remember people and places that you've been to. Tomorrow at our St. Botolph School Assembly, we're going to start off looking at what children remember, look back on with happiness, like Christmases and bonfire nights and holidays. We all have the ability to call things to mind. Our successes, our failures, our joys, our hurts. We're able to remember. But the thing I want to focus on this morning is that it's going to be certain that there'll come a time when each one of us will be remembered. Life's short, it's but a mist. We shall probably all be gone sooner than we anticipated. We face a certain death and then a certain judgment before our Maker. There's going to come a time when you, like me, will be remembered by others. Are you confident about how you're going to be remembered? When it comes to being remembered by others, you hope it's going to be a kind remembrance. That people will remember you for the positive things. Some kindness that you showed. Some love that you demonstrated. Something commendable about your character or your life. as we've commented many times before, that's our usual practice, for good reason too, isn't it? When we remember people, we've all been made in the image and likeness of God. God's common grace has been upon every single life. There are many good things that we're able to remember, and it's our usual practice. But there are things that you hope you won't be remembered for, aren't there, too? There are things that you hope that somebody giving the eulogy, perhaps at your funeral, will overlook. Because when you think about it, there are words, aren't there, and there are actions, aren't there, which cause you some pain and some sorrow and some shame and some embarrassment. And you really wouldn't want somebody to stand up at your funeral and remember you for those things. And we all got them. And that's just a little evidence to us of the truth and reality of sin. That we are sinners who have sinned, and we could well be remembered by others according to some of those sins. The anger that we showed. The hate that we demonstrated. We all know such things in our lives, and we could be remembered by others for those things. But this morning my main focus is this, that it's certain that every one of us here this morning will be remembered, as it were, by God. It's not that God ever forgets, of course, but there will be a very definite time when he will call you and your life to mind. And that's what I think David has in his own mind here, and it's what the thief on the cross had when he turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me." You see, David here has in mind a day of reckoning, when he will stand before the living God and give an account. He's got to give an account to the God who made him, who's also his judge. He's got to give an account of his own life in a day of judgment. We might term it a day of remembrance. I'm sure that David here too is just thinking about during every day, that he hopes that God doesn't remember him this way, but remembers him another way. But that points to this wonderful, glorious day of judgment, which is coming. When, as promised in God's word, we will all stand before God and have to give an account of how we have lived. And David is keenly aware of that reality. And I want to ask you this morning, are you aware of that reality? That there's going to come a time in your life when the sand will run through the hourglass, the last grain will go through, and you will die, and you will face God in judgment. You will stand before God on a day of judgment. The God who made the 35 million galaxies, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who made you, who knit you together in your mother's womb, you will stand before him, the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-wise, just judge. And each one of us will have to give an account, personally, individually. And this day plays on David's mind. Does it play on yours? You're going to face this day of remembrance. And what David makes perfectly clear to us here is that there are two ways in which we can be remembered by God. There's simply two ways. When you stand before God, he will call your life to mind in one of two ways. Which will it be? Are you confident of how you're going to be remembered on that great day? David points to the first way in verse 7. And he says, "Do not remember me this way." So there's a way to be remembered, but David says, "Please don't remember me this way." Why doesn't he want to be remembered in this way? Well, I guess David knows the awful consequences of being remembered in this way. If we're remembered in this first way, we shall be eternally separated from the God who made us. We shall spend an eternity in the fiery lake where the flames never go out. If we are remembered in this first way, we will be punished forever for our offences against God. I notice that David doesn't say here, "Well, Lord, you shouldn't really remember me this way because it would be an unfair way." He doesn't say, "Lord, it would be unjust if you remembered me in that way." No, he accepts that, on the one hand, it's a possibility. And at heart of this way is that the Lord would remember David according to the sins of his youth and his transgressions. The way he has grieved the Lord God Almighty in the early days of his life and then his transgressions. We don't know exactly what they're pointing to, but we know from last week some of his sins. That's the crunch. David is going to return to the Lord his Maker, and he has a significant problem in relation to God. He has sinned and transgressed. And that's the relevance for all of us here this morning. You see, it means that David had fallen short of the standard required by God, particularly reference to his youth. It also means that he's transgressed, he's crossed the forbidden line in relationship to God. He hasn't obeyed God's commands. Perhaps he calls to mind the question in Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, kept a record of our wrongs, who could stand? David's acknowledging that there are wrongs, and if the Lord kept a record of his wrongs and treated him accordingly, David knows that he couldn't stand. There's that great question that we face in the book of Revelation. For the great day of God's wrath has come, and who can stand? An eternity of the fiery lake, the endless punishment, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And no cry of injustice from David's lips. And the relevance, well, is David alone in sinning? Is David alone in being in danger of facing the eternal wrath of God's holy justice? And the answer is no, because all have sinned. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And that means me, and it means you. Have you ever considered these truths, that your primary problem isn't a political one or an economic one? It's a spiritual problem you have in relationship to the living God, because you have sinned. And beware of sitting there this morning and being a bit defensive about that, saying, well, yes, but. There's no buts. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Please don't sit there this morning and kid yourself, well, yes, but it's not as bad as it might be. My friend, it couldn't be worse than it is. It could not be worse than it is. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we have an appointment to keep with him when we stand before him and have to give an account of how we've lived. We've been made in the image of God by God, but we have all sinned and fallen short. The Bible's so clear. It says none is righteous. No, not one. Which means that in and of yourself, whoever you are this morning, you are not righteous. In and of yourself, none is. We have failed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. It means that you, like me, have behaved contrary to his commands. You have violated his law. You have rebelled against his instructions. You have committed the sin of idolatry. You have been proud and envious and covetous. You have lied. You have been unrighteously angry. You have sinned. And you have an appointment with God to keep when you've got to give an account of how you have lived. The Bible says that we are guilty as charged against our own personal charge sheet. And God is perfectly within his responsibility and rights to be able to remember you according to your sins and treat you accordingly. Do you see what will happen if he does? You will spend an eternity separated from God, facing his endless punishment for your sins. Have you ever come to that point where you've contemplated that truth, that reality? That you're going to stand before the holy God against whom you have sinned in a day of judgment. And he has every right to remember you according to your sins and visit his endless punishment upon you. Have you ever faced that reality. Have you ever put your hand up and owned that situation? It's true of me. I'm not what I thought I was. I'm not the moral, good, kind person I thought. Against God's standards, I have fallen horrendously short. I have grieved Him, and I've got to stand before Him and give an account for how I've lived. And He can remember you that way. But notice, secondly, that David points to a second way. And I want you to listen very carefully to this. First of all, I hope you'll recognise that it's wonderful that there is another way. Because the first way is perfectly just and fair. But there's another way. A way which can give you real hope this morning. Hell can be avoided. There is a way of escape. The Bible sets out for us a glorious way of salvation. And David didn't want to be remembered the first way, but he does want to be remembered this second way. That's his desire. And I wonder whether it's your desire this morning. Do you desire to be remembered by God in this second way? Notice what David doesn't do. He doesn't say, "Oh Lord, please don't remember me according to all the bad things I've done. Remember me according to the good things I've done." No, he doesn't say that at all. He doesn't say, "Lord, please don't remember me according to my adultery and my murder. Remember me according to the great victory I had over Goliath." Nothing in what David says here suggests that he's looking to anything that he has done. And the reason why is that God says that even the good things that we've done are as filthy rags in His sight. We have to be remembered not according to our bad deeds, not even according to our good deeds, but according to this second way, which is neither of those things. What does David appeal to? Does he say, "But Lord, I've been religious. Lord, I've turned up to church. Lord, I knew the Lord's Prayer"? No, no, no. David makes an appeal to what God has done. Now, can you see that? If he's remembered according to what he does, he'll face the eternal wrath of God. But he makes a plea to God according, not to what David has done, but according to what God has done. And that, my friends, is the Christian hope. He appeals to God, as you'll see here, to God's mercy. "According to your mercy, remember me." The God who is holy and just is also a God who is prepared to treat us in a way that we don't deserve, according to His unfailing love. And that's our only hope this morning. That God will remember us not according to anything that we've done, but He'll remember us according to what He has done for us. Now, I want you to think about that. Perhaps a question comes to your mind. Well, wouldn't that be unfair? I mean, if my sins are real and God's justice cries out for their punishment, and those two things are true, my sins are real and God's justice does cry out for their punishment, how then can I be remembered in a way in which I won't face punishment? And that, my friends, is a great question. If our sins are real, and they are, and if God's justice cries out for punishment, and it does, how can any one of us be remembered in a way in which we won't face the punishment? Well, there is a way. And it's all about God and His character and His initiative. "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your kindnesses. According to your mercy, remember me." Well, if the first way remembered our sins and treated us accordingly, the second way, it must be about the removal of those sins, mustn't it? And about the remembering of them no more. It must be about the just removal of those sins so that justice is still satisfied. How can that be? How can I have my sins remembered no more? How can divine justice be satisfied when I had sinned to the level that I have? How can God do that? How can God satisfy his own justice, his own wrath against our sin, and yet remember our sins no more? And the simple answer is this: that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God became man. And Jesus lived on this earth without sin, without a spot, without a blemish. He lived perfectly, loving the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, strength and mind. He lived a sinless life. And then he went to the cross at Calvary, having agreed to bear the sins of his people and to face the punishment in their place. The spotless Lord Jesus Christ goes to the cross as a sacrifice for sin to satisfy divine justice, to have the sins of his people laid upon him, credited against him, and to face God's eternal wrath against them there upon the cross. That, my friends, is the mercy of the living God. Isaiah spoke of it 800 years before Jesus was born. He spoke of the one with no sins of his youth, no transgressions, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And David looks forward to the coming of Messiah, and Messiah laying down his life to pay the price of David's sins. And that's why here in this psalm there's this lovely, gentle, yet firm confidence in David about how he will be remembered. He knows that he's not going to be remembered according to the sins of his youth or his transgressions, but he's going to be remembered according to God's mercy. Because God has so loved him that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for David's sins, that those sins would be remembered no more. And as David looked forward in time, we in the 21st century are to look back. And so I ask you this morning, are you confident about how you will be remembered? Will you be remembered according to your good deeds or your bad deeds? Or will you be remembered according to God's love for you, demonstrated at Calvary? That the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. And it's that sacrifice which is going to be remembered, which is going to count for you when you stand before God in judgment. You're going to know that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. He's buried them in the depths of the deepest sea, and he remembers them no more. And all because Christ has died for you. It's Remembrance Day 2019. I want to remind you that you will have a personal day of remembrance before God. And it's not unjust or unfair of him to remember you according to your sins and judge you appropriately, unless you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. In which case it would be unjust of God to remember you according to your sins and judge you appropriately, and so he won't. But you must trust in Christ alone, not in anything that you have done. You must rid yourself of any confidence in what you have done whatsoever, and put all of your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if you do that, God in mercy will forgive you your sins because he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, died on the cross at Calvary in your place as your substitute to free you from the tyranny of sin. And if you are trusting wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning to save you from your sins, to blot out all your transgressions, it would be unjust of God to demand payment from you on your day of remembrance, because Christ has already settled the whole account for you when he laid down his life for you on the cross. And so God won't remember you according to your sins, but he will remember you according to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you can be confident that you will be remembered not according to the sins of your youth or your transgressions, but according to his great mercy. Are you trusting in him? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you to save you from your sins? Can I encourage you to take these words of David to your own heart and maybe your lips this morning, and to cry out to God and say, Lord, according to your mercy, remember me, for I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. Trust him. Turn from your sin and your unbelief and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be remembered not according to what you've done, but according to what he has done for you. Let us pray.